Podtecler episode 316, Vorda Tadan episode 1 for October 5th, 2012. Hello everyone, welcome back to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Dust Storm.
I'm your co-host, Halfling.
And I'm your other host, Brent Gamer.
And today we're doing a quick short special on the Forward Unto Dawn machinima that came out, well, it's not really a machinima,
It's a live action.
Yeah, it's a live action, but came out on machinima, so for some reason I still like to call it machinima for some random reason. But we have the first episode of Forward Unto Dawn out today. It was released really early this morning on Waypoint and Machinima Prime. So we're going to take a little time to kind of go through the episode kind of scene by scene and kind of talk about what we think about Forward Unto Dawn. So before we get into that, what are your guys' overall first impressions of Forward Unto Dawn? You think it's going to be a good series? Are you really looking forward to kind of seeing a different side of Halo? What are your initial thoughts for Forward Unto Dawn?
Pretty good. Going in, I wasn't really sure what to expect. It was going to focus more on, like, combat scenarios or drama. And, I mean, there was a little bit of combat footage going on during the training exercise, but there's a good bit of drama, too, so...
Oh, the combat part at the beginning was kind of a blur. You know what I mean? It wasn't... I don't think they fleshed it out, you know.
It seemed like it was kind of setting the stage for how we're going to see Lasky evolve as a character in Forward Unto Dawn.
Yeah.
It's basically... Well, it was just him, like, running through the woods, you know, with bullets whizzing past him. Like, I don't know if it's even combat. Like, it's more just kind of like an
action. Well, it's a training drill is what it was.
Yeah.
I know, but...
So what was basically going on was they're doing training for fighting off an insurrectionist, and... Lasky didn't follow orders and caused his team a grave mistake. And we'll get into that in a little bit. But I think, for the most part, this episode was more of laying the groundwork for developing Lasky as a character for Forward Unto Dawn.
Yeah, like, here's your main character. Mm-hmm. Here's his problem. So expect this to be resolved by the end of the miniseries.
Yeah.
I think... A lot of people kind of have the feeling of, like, so, you know, Halo live action thing with some fleshed out characters, some drama to it. Like, this could either be good or this could be, like, really bad. You know what I mean? Like, bad. Like, I think, you know, they did a pretty good job. The special effects were really, you know, good, and costumes were crisp, and acting was pretty spot on.
Let's go into this scene by scene now. First thing we have is the Forward Unto Dawn. In its broken up form, just kind of drifting out in the middle of space, and then long off on some other system somewhere. We don't know if they're at Earth or if they're somewhere else in the Milky Way. But Commander Lasky gets this distress beacon from Cortana and Forward Unto Dawn with the Mayday message that there's one surviving member on board. So he's received that message, and he's trying to make a decision of whether or not to go and get the chief, and then it flashes back to the time that we opened up Forward Unto Dawn pretty much with. For those of you who are kind of attentive to the news, you'll know that Master Chief is going to play a part in Forward Unto Dawn, so it's pretty much going to flash back to this time where Lasky encounters Chief for the first time, and...
Look, he's my hero.
For the most part, yeah. He's probably going through his mind of the stuff that happened between him and Chief back on Cercinius 4, which is where this cadet training camp is. Moving on from that, our first scene that we have actually what I consider part of the series, other than the distress signal, is every one of the cadets for this Astani team, or I'm not sure exactly how that is spelled, but
Astati,
sounds like
Astati. Astati. Astati.
All right. I tried to do a search for that, quick search, and I couldn't quite find it, but your searching skills are obviously better than mine.
But, well, I pulled up the Halopedia Forward Unto Dawn page just to make sure I had all these characters in front of me.
But Hastati team is pretty much dropping out of cryo, doing basically hot drop scenario, and then they're going off against Innies.
Yeah, some good vomiting in that scene.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. They're like busted.
I wonder what they had them do, like the actors just put a bunch of like water in their mouth. Like,
probably something like, I would almost think it would be blended oatmeal. That's kind of what I would think of, was what that looked like.
Right. Yeah. Or milk or something.
But whenever people get cryo frozen, they pretty much fill you up with nutrients, and that stuff pretty much you vomit back out.
You're supposed to swallow it too.
Yeah, you swallow it.
Yeah, but they all spat, so
they're in cryo training.
Yeah,
right.
So it's gonna be there's multiple times where people are throwing up, and I'm sure this is not the end to us seeing other people throw up.
Right.
It'd be nice if it was, but
right.
we'll have to see. Because there's also another little side plot to it with Lasky getting freezer burns and blisters from the cryo-freezing process. So yeah. I think that's going to be kind of a subplot to the story of him going through his training, and how the freezer burns going to affect him is probably going to affect how his training progresses, if it progresses. Because from what we saw, it doesn't look like he's very keen to the idea of following orders and not sharing the vision that the Innies are all bad, like everyone else at the Academy does.
Yeah, he's a real rebel of his time.
Mm.
Speaking of the freezer runs, it kind of made me think of, you know, he's lucky he's not Master Chief, because I remember in one of the books, it was talking about how, you know, the burns are bad enough with just regular people, but, like, Master Chief, like, because he has the armor pressing against him, it's like amplified by like, you know, times 100 or something. It's like he's on fire when he gets out of the tube, basically. But he can like shut his mind off. So,
well, it's not shut his mind off. He just ignores.
Well,
the pain.
I mean, distract himself from the pain.
Yeah. But his soup helps him recover from that a lot quicker than other people as well.
Right.
So it may be a more drastic effect, but they're Spartans. They can handle that kind of stuff. They're big and tough.
Right.
The best of the best.
Right? Yeah. So, we see Commander Lasky running through the forest for a training mission with some of his other cadets, and they join up with the rest of Hastani team, and he's given an order to stay back and wait for them to come, but he decides to basically say, screw you, to the team leader, goes out and gets himself shot, and pretty much loses the game for his team.
He lost the game.
On his way back, they talk a little bit more into the whole freezer burn issue. And then we see kind of our first look at the chain of command at the Academy. And I'm going to play a little clip real quick from Forward Unto Dawn, just the audio part. So go ahead and take a quick listen.
Let me remind you, cadets, this academy bears the name of the Roman general Gnaeus Domitius Corbulo, because he represents honor, valor, allegiance. General Corbulo was to take his own life in the name of the empire. Corbulo did not hesitate nor question. He loyally obeyed, screaming, Axios! As he fell upon his own sword, Axios, I am worthy. But I'm afraid, cadets, today you have proven to be anything but. We are at war with insurrectionists, terrorists, who would like nothing more than to see all of us dead. Had this been a real firefight, the rebels would have likely killed every member of Hastati's squad. Every single one of you at this academy was sent here because your parents are the upper echelon of the United Nations Space Command. Because all of you are its future. and I expect you to act like it.
So that's the first clip that we get of General Black, and we're probably going to see a lot more of him throughout the rest of the series. A couple of key points I want to pull out of there. So the first one is the word Axios, which translates to I am worthy, which was General Corbulo's last words before he committed suicide. This is a Roman general, Gnaeus Domitius Corbulo. I don't know my Roman history that well, so anyone else that's out there that's a history buff, you may or may not have heard of this person. But the battle cry for this academy is pretty much Axios. And for the most part, the display that Lasky has put on pretty much says that they don't think that really he really belongs. And you start to see some of the conflict where he's going to be kind of questioning a lot of leadership decisions that are going to be made. Later on, you see that he has some second thoughts about what the insurrectionists or rebels' intentions really are. And if you read the books, you will know that there's a lot of hatred from the rebels that pretty much is not necessarily one that the general is speaking of. They want to exterminate the whole UNSC. They just pretty much want them out of their hands. These insurrectionists, most of them are pretty much outer colony or inner colony settlers that have gone out and made a living for themselves, and they've pretty much come back and said, well, what's so important about Earth? Because we're here now, we should be important as well, not just Earth and Earth alone. So you may think that this could be a little bit of brainwashing or not, or maybe that's just what this general believes. But there's definitely more to it than just that insurrectionists want to kill off the UNSC. Granted, they hate their guts, but it's humanity. We dislike each other for reasons, and the UNSC wants to kind of take a hold of everyone and has Earth at the center of everything, since that's where we came from. But they just really want them out of their hair. And it's the UNSC. They're not going to kind of just ignore people. So that's one of the things I wanted to point out about that little speech. The next thing I wanted to point out was the... Sorry. Excuse me. I should have used my mouth. Should have used my mic. But he pretty much walks up to Lasky and he's looking at him pretty much all the time during his speech. There's going to be a lot of conflict between a lot of the leadership at the academy and probably between General Black and Cadet Lasky throughout the entire Forward Unto Dawn series. And I think as Lasky kind of starts to mature in his opinion of the insurrectionists and maybe the rest of the leadership at the academy kind of understand how he's looking at things, then there may be a turning point where these two may become really good friends. But we'll have to see how that turns out. What are your guys' opinions on kind of this relationship between General Black and Lasky? You think it's going to just be this ongoing drag of they really just dislike each other? Or do you think that somewhere down the road is going to kind of turn into something greater than that and maybe possibly even a friendship?
I think that for the first few episodes, it's going to be like, Lasky! And like, or General Black's going to be like, you know, just walking around, always scolding him for the things he does. And I don't think you're going to see a whole lot of General Black, except in the segments where he's giving lectures or things like that. It doesn't seem like he would be giving a lot of personal advice to the cadets, you know, no. Talking with them one-on-one.
Yeah, he's pretty much the guy that runs the place.
Yeah. I'm more interested in the relationship between Lasky and...
Sylvia? Sullivan, sorry.
The other one.
All right.
I don't know.
Oh.
I'm looking... It was like one of the
commanding one that called
officers.
Him in?
Yes.
The instructor?
Mahaffey.
Colonel Mahaffey, yeah.
Yeah, Mahaffey. So, that seems like she might have a more interpersonal relationship with Lasky than General Black Will.
Yeah. Well, that's actually the next clip I'm going... Well, it's one of the next clips I'm going to play. But that's going to... Because she even says that she worked under his mom.
Yeah.
So there's definitely... It looks like, for right now, Colonel Mahaffey is pretty much playing the role of his mother at this academy. And the fact that he's not doing too well kind of worries her. But at the same time, Lasky is almost like saying, I don't care.
It's like, whatever, just kick me out.
Yeah.
Whatever.
One other thing I wanted to point out about the first clip before we get ahead too far is General Black says that everyone there is descendants of high-ranking UNSC officers. So pretty much they're privileged to be at Corbulo Academy in the first place.
Yeah.
The fact that Lasky is bringing people down and he's not really living up to his family name is something that a lot of people are not very happy with at the academy, and that's kind of where my next clip comes in.
Stop stepping on our dicks, Lasky.
Hey, ease up, gingerbread.
No, Sully, Vickers is right. My combat scores suck because of you.
Don't bother, JJ. He's gone soft. He's an innie lover now.
Dima, that order didn't make any sense.
Doesn't have to make sense. Just follow it.
I'm trying to survive here, okay?
You need to respect the chain of command. The UNSC isn't the enemy. The innies are.
Spoken like a true believer.
Yeah, well, at least I believe in something these days.
So in that scene, we really start to get a sense of how everyone else on the squad hates his guts.
Everybody hates Lasky.
So apparently this is not his first rodeo of going off and disobeying direct orders and chain of command. And everyone is kind of griping at the situation. There's other scenes where the cadets are kind of phoning back home or getting messages from their parents. And like, they're really looking to them succeeding really well at this academy. And the fact that Lasky is going off and doing these daredevilish things that's getting his team into trouble is really not making them best of friends. More or less.
Yeah. It seems like his only friend is, like, Sullivan and Silva.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Sullivan's his only friend. Like, Silva's his love interest, but...
Right.
As far as the other cadets, like, most of them just hate Lasky.
Mm-hmm. So, one of the things that one of the cadets said was, just follow orders. And that kind of goes back to the whole story of General Corbulo, where he pretty much was unquestioning and just followed orders. So, and that's kind of one of the things that General Black touched on in his speech, and it really seems to be one of the facets of their training at the academy. The fact that Lasky does not like to do that is probably going to end up being a big problem for him. We'll have to see, though, when the chief arrives and things drastically change, because things are going to make a big turn during the series. I have a feeling around episode 3 or 4, we're going to see some big changes to the plot line.
Yeah.
For Ford and Dodon. So
drastic improvements on the part of Lasky's effort.
Yeah, there's going to be a huge character development over, I think, the first 2 or 3 episodes, and then we're really going to see where Lasky fits in with the rest of the cadets at the academy, and how he will fit into the rest of his UNSC career.
Yeah.
Next clip I want to play is, of course, him with his counselor, or his instructor. So I'm going to go ahead and play that one real quick.
You don't care. You do realize your helmets transmit everything?
No excuse, sir.
You continue pulling down your squad, you're going to end up with a lot of enemies.
Yes, sir.
I served under your mother. I know what she's like. And I sure as hell don't need to tell you that Colonel Lasky's not going to let a son of hers leave this academy without a diploma.
I wouldn't know what my mother thinks, sir. I never see her.
It's been a long war. Your mother holds a lot of hands.
So I'm told, sir.
You know, Thomas, I've seen a lot of cadets come through here. Many have suffered like you. Pain like that cannot be forgotten, but you can learn how to tolerate it.
I'll do my best, sir.
That'll be all.
So here we see the relationship, as Brent was really interested in, between Colonel Mahaffey and Lasky. And she seems to be one of the only people that's really going to be sympathizing with Lasky. Granted, she doesn't agree with how he's behaving, but with how the relationship between Mahaffey and Lasky's mother is, she probably feels some kind of responsibility to make sure Lasky makes it through without too many bumps or bruises.
Yeah. She feels an attachment to him because of her service mm-hmm. underneath Colonel Lasky. So maybe she feels kind of responsible. You know, she doesn't want to yeah. fail the colonel by, you know, letting Thomas Lasky mm-hmm. mess up.
And one of the things that you really see start to dynamic just from a family perspective is the fact that Lasky goes and says that he wouldn't know what his mother expects of him because she's never around. So it's almost like Mahaffey's trying to pick up that role where his mother really wasn't there for him. And seeing this kind of family relationship develop is, I think, what Brent said is going to be one of the interesting relationships to keep a track of. Because between her, Sullivan and Silva, I think those three are going to be the people that really give Lasky the pushes to make it through the academy and through the events that are going to come later in the series.
Well, what's going to be interesting is to see whether or not Cadman Lasky or Colonel Lasky end up dying at some point during the series and how Thomas is going to take the news.
That would be interesting.
Because they've already alluded to Cadman making his drop mm-hmm. into heavy enemy
yeah.
territory.
He got his ODST tattoo and everything. So he has a really strong tie to his brother. Yeah. And I actually have one more clip to play, and it's for that scene.
Hey, little bro. Hello from Jericho 7. It's day 131 of deployment. So I gotta show you something. All right, Mom's gonna flip when she sees this. But whatever. It's still a little raw. But we got a big drop on an Indian stronghold next week. I want to get it done before then. Anyways.
So you haven't been court-martialed yet, then?
I'm not apologizing.
Yes, you are.
At least I believe in something.
I do believe in something.
Yeah, so do I.
Like what?
Just not in stupid orders that lead to needless violence.
Negotiating isn't an option anymore, Tom.
So we're brainwashing kids and then sending them in to exterminate a bunch of overtaxed farmers.
Farmers. That's who you think they are. You have no idea what the Innies are like.
I have a pretty good idea.
Well, then you should know how much they hate us and that they're not going to stop fighting until we're all dead.
Can you blame them?
Yeah. I can. I blame them for a lot of things. And you should, too.
So this is where we get a real glimpse of the struggle that Lasky's going through. So he believes that the insurrectionists are not necessarily all out to kill the UNSC, which, from what I read from the books, and feel free to chip in on this opinion, guys, is pretty, his opinion is pretty much spot on with the insurrectionists. They're tired of UNSC control over just about everything they do. They're not necessarily out to hate the guts of the UNSC, but they just want them out of their hair. And the fact that they're teaching at the academy that the insurrectionists want nothing more than to kill every last person associated with the UNSC is kind of that brainwashing thing that Lasky is kind of alluding to.
Yeah, I think that in the end, it'll probably end up being where
his
Lasky
saving grace.
Kind of... somewhere in between. Like, he understands that the rebels, like, don't want to exterminate everybody in the UNSC, but they're probably more brutal than he has any idea of. Like, the lengths that they'll go to achieve their, freedom from the UNSC control, like, because they are a terrorist organization. They use terrorist tactics. They kill civilians.
Right.
They'll do messed up things to achieve their goals. And it's probably not as bad as the Academy is
portraying it.
What they said, brainwashing him and saying, but he's probably going to see that they're more vicious than he thinks.
He brings
they
up
are.
An interesting point, though. Can you blame them? Can you blame them for all the things that we've done to them and all the regulations that the UNSC has put against the insurrectionists?
Yeah.
Because of the Human Covenant War.
It's kind of hard to really pick a side. Because it honestly kind of reminds me of, like, the British Empire versus, like, the American, like, revolutionaries, whatever. Because it's like, right? The big, powerful...
I mean, we weren't out to
empire.
To kill every last Briton. We just wanted them out of our hair. All the regulation that they implied on us over here was something that we were not comfortable with. And I feel that that's pretty much kind of how Lasky feels.
Because, like, neither the instructionists or, sure, the instructionists are, they might do some sketchy stuff, killing civilians sometimes, whatever. They're not totally evil. They're not totally benevolent. Same with the UNSC. Oni does some pretty sketchy stuff. The Spartan program is a perfect example. The UNSC isn't totally evil, but it's not totally benevolent either.
Right. I also want to say that the relationship that Sylvia has with Lasky is going to change. Well, it is going to change throughout the series. But I almost want to say Lasky will probably kind of end up portraying his views about the insurrectionists to Sylva, and we'll see a change in Silva's point of view about the insurrectionists as they go through training, and Lasky's bound to make more stupid choices like he did in this episode, and a lot more of the cadets are probably going to hate his guts even more. But I think Sylvia is going to be sympathetic with him and possibly even turn to his side of things and understanding what the insurrectionists really feel. And Lasky may have some history with the insurrectionists that we don't know of yet that will be revealed later throughout the series. But my guess is that he's probably been with insurrectionists at some point and has an idea of why the rebels are doing what they're doing and what their true intentions are, which it is pretty much they just want the UNSC out of their hair. So that's all the clips I had. A couple things that really can't do in sound bit form, but there's some pictures up there. There's a nice little article that goes through the ending sequences of Forward Unto Dawn for this first episode on HaloFanForLife.com. First one is the stone placard that's above the beds. And there's a bit of text that reads, and I'm going to read it real quick. It says, "Through knowledge, victory, through unity, peace, honor, valor, allegiance. Today, tomorrow, forever, together we rise, together we prevail. Forward unto dawn, for earth, honor, valor, allegiance, excellence, today, tomorrow, forever. Together we rise, together we prevail," and it just keeps on going and going and going. So that's something that's over the beds of every cadet, pretty much. And it seems that, I don't know what this text really comes from, but it's probably the motto for the Academy, I would think.
Yeah.
So, through knowledge, victory, unity, peace, honor, valor, allegiance, pretty much all respectable traits that you would have for a soldier in the Marine Corps. Today, tomorrow, forever, pretty much went throughout the whole time that you're in the Marines, which is you never really leave. Together we rise, together we prevail. Pretty much you are a team. You act as a team. You follow the orders of people above you. Ford Unto Dawn from Earth for Earth. So basically that's saying Earth is where we came from. We fight for Earth and for her colonies. That's pretty much the breakdown of, I think, the four core aspects of what the UNSC would pretty much be. Does that sound right to you guys?
Yeah.
So that's above the beds. Thanks to the guys at Halo Fame for Life for doing the freeze frame and doing the analysis on that. Last thing is the last scene that we have is a pan up from the floor of Lasky's room up to the window, and we see this flash of Covenant text and then the interface of the computer that's there in front of the window gets brought up for a split second, goes away, and then off in the sky we see this streak of purple light somewhere. And it looks like it comes in, then turns around, and then hovers in the sky. So that...
Yeah, watch out for the color purple.
I wanted
Halo,
to say that's,
you know,
something Covenant. Probably a Covenant spy of some kind.
Aliens.
I mean, we're in the middle of the Human Covenant War, and Ford Unto Dawn is basically the story of the first time the Academy gets hit with Covenant, and then Chief is deployed there pretty much to kind of help fight the Covenant off. So that last scene, I'm pretty sure it's Covenant, because the color purple, I mean, who else has the color purple, right?
Prince.
Prince.
The artist formerly known as Prince.
Yeah, so.
It's Prince flying.
Wow.
That would actually be funny to me.
That would be...
He's got that the gender symbol, the male and female combined or whatever.
He like breaks down. Let's get crazy.
Oh, goodness.
Like starts playing, like they have to shoot him in the head. That's just the end of the insurrection.
Yeah, that's
Prince is an insurrectionist.
Wow.
What a
twist.
Another quick thing.
I always felt like he was like a wannabe Michael Jackson. You know what I mean?
Another quick thing. Is kind of the complex layout of Cor Bleu Academy. There's lots of satellite dishes, which is... It almost makes you think that's almost a center for gathering information. Like, the Academy is just one of the things that is there.
Not at all. Go look at Standoff.
So
there's tons of satellites.
Well, they're
standoff.
Off in the distance.
Right, and the map description says... They contain the prepared response, their missiles.
So there's so many satellites here, though, which makes me believe a little bit more than the Academy is going on.
Well, how else are they going to get direct TV?
Well, there is a space elevator there, so maybe it's just coordinating comms with incoming ships and everything else. But the fact that it's in the Academy is a giant complex with a lot of additional satellites, and the space elevator probably is an indication that there's more there than just the Academy.
Yeah. Secret Oni base underneath the
Academy.
And
there's little hints of Oni stuff going on throughout it as well. They're very minuscule, so we didn't really touch on them, but there's probably going to be more scenes relating to Oni throughout the rest of the series. So,
what if it turns out that Lasky is really an undercover?
I doubt
agent?
It. I seriously doubt it. It would be. That would just. No, that would not make sense.
What a twist!
He's too naive. Yeah, no, that too. To.
But what if he's acting that way?
Yeah, right.
Pull out which of the cadets are really insurrectionist sympathizers.
Right. Although that would be an interesting plot twist. I will give you that. But hell no. So. Alright. Well, that pretty much wraps up our short show for the first episode of Ford Unto Dawn. We'll be doing these for every episode that comes out. Thank you again, guys, for listening. And tune in next week for another episode of Ford Unto Dawn and our analysis. Thanks for listening, guys.